Yeah, it's true. I'm looking at the clock a little bit, and also, you prepare a message and here's the disclaimer. I never went to Bible school. I never took a class in how to preach or anything like that. As Pastor Eric touched on a little bit, I'm an actor by profession, and I did this movie, and as a result of how that movie impacted people, I began to get invitations to do what I'm doing today. And it's a whole other story how the last thing in the world I ever wanted to do is what I'm doing today. It was like, really, and there's a lot more to that. My profession is an out of sight, out of mind profession. For me to leave town, we live in Southern California, for me to leave town for any length of time, there's 5,000 guys waiting to fill that void. And so there was a tremendous amount of risk involved and stuff like that. Maybe I'll tell a little bit of that story. This dates back to 1993. I was caught between my phone ringing off the hook to come and do this and my need to develop my career. Doing that first Jesus movie, it occupied almost a year of my life. So it made me unavailable for other films and things like that. So there's tremendous, you're caught between the two. And without taking the long story and going into all the details, I went to see my pastor at the time. And I poured my heart out. I have no money, struggling to pay my rent. I need to develop my career, blah, 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 dee, dee, dee. I'm getting these phone calls. What do I do? And in his remarkable wisdom, I don't know that I've ever told this story before. In his remarkable wisdom, he just sat there and let me gush for a half an hour, And I'll be really vulnerable. In my heart, I was hoping he would say, "Bruce, go back to your career. I'm a pastor. We've got the ministry thing handled." But he didn't. He just sat there and listened and listened. I remember our knees were this close together. We're facing each other. And when I finished my diatribe, he said, "Bruce, what is your life all about?" And, here's the confession. I'm talking to my pastor. So, I've got to give him the right answer. Yeah, I can't tell him what I really want to say, which is my life is about getting an Academy Award one day. That's what I really want to say. But I'm talking to my pastor, so I got to give him the Christian answer. It's a true story. And I looked at him and I said, about winning people to Jesus. And he slapped me on the knee and he said, "You're right." He said, "Once a man knows what his life is about, everything else is easy. Have a good day." That's a true story. Have I ever told you that story? That's a true story. And I was out the door. And I tell you, I went and I sat in my car in that parking lot and I knew what I had to do and I cried. I just cried. I cried and cried and cried. And I went home and I picked up the phone and I said, "Okay, I'll come." And the next thing I knew, I was on a plane to Africa and I wouldn't return home for, I don't know, 5 or 6 months. And during those 5 or 6 months, I probably saw, and this is a funny thing to say, because I don't, but just to give you an example of what hinged on that moment. You know, I don't think I'm exaggerating to say that I saw salvations well over six figures in high schools, in universities, in prisons, and meetings like this, stadium events and crusades, and it was just, and you got to understand, I was never, you know, I never had a microphone. I never stood in front of people. I never nothing. And it still wasn't easy. You know, you go to bed after a service, you've just seen, you know, 3,000 people give their lives to Jesus. I'm not exaggerating. It's a story that I've never really told. And you go to your hotel room, and if you've ever been to Africa, Pastor Eric knows exactly what I'm talking about, you know. You know, you're laying on your back and the ceiling fan is going whoop, 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 and there's no screens on the windows, and, you know, the bugs are crawling through. And I remember I had one room that was a bat that lived on the ceiling for a week. And I mean, you're just looking up at all this and you're thinking, wow, how did I get here? The sweat's just pouring off your face. You know, there's just no escape from the heat. And as hard as all that sounds, it's wonderful. It's just, wow, you know, how did I get here? You know, I remember checking into that hotel, and there was a big sign behind the desk, and it said, no firearms beyond this point. I go, oh, wow, where am I? You know, it's a different world. And you lay there and you think of the wonder of all that, and at the same time, your life slipping through your hands. I remember going to a theater, and there on the screen was a movie, and the star of the movie was a guy that I had come up with as an actor. You know, we had a similar look, and so you see him at the audition, same auditions over and over, and you kind of get to know each other. And you know, he was obviously doing better than I was. You know, there he was, starring in a movie. He made it. And there I was, you know, looking at a bat on my ceiling in Africa. So it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. And I could go on and on about this, and this is funny because I had no intention of talking about any of this stuff. But I kind of take the leap because, you know, I've learned along the way that through this story, the Lord is speaking to somebody about, you know, crossroads and trusting Him and taking risk and blah, blah, blah. And at the end of the day, after years of that, and one day my phone rang. And it was a guy making a Christian movie. It was years later. I mean, my career was as good as gone, you know. And he said, hey, you know, would you like to play Jesus in this movie? And that's a long story. And he and I met, and I did it. And even that was a story, because I went to meet the guy. He wasn't familiar with me. One of his staff said, hey, you ought to call Bruce, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And we had a meeting, and we're sitting there over coffee. And I said, well, if you want me to play Jesus in this movie, this is how I see it. He just, no matter who's in front of him, he loves them. He loves them. Because I'd read the script, and there were some people very hostile to Jesus in the script. And I told him, the way I'm going to play that is he just loves that guy. No matter what the guy does, his eyes say, I love you. His tone of voice says, I love you. His every move, his everything is about that. And it was kind of funny. He looked at me like he'd never heard that before. And I thought, wow, how long have you been sitting in church? You've never heard that before. I scratched my head. And I remember he shrugged his shoulders and he said, okay, well, let's give it a try. Let's do this. And I did that movie, and to make a long story short, suddenly it opened up a door to do what I started out doing, except for him. Suddenly I'm making more movies than I ever dreamed of making, but they're movies for him. And I just, you know, and I wasn't even going to go here today, but I look out, I see young people, you know, I'm telling you, the Lord has a plan for your life. And it's a plan that is exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything you can even begin to imagine or create for yourself. You cannot imagine, and I'm telling you, because he's not a respecter of persons. There are no special people in the kingdom of God. There aren't. There's just people who pursue him fully. And his response to that. And therein is the difference. I'm not saying that I pursued him fully. Trust me on that. I could tell you story after story of failure after failure and knee-jerk after knee-jerk and difficult times and just what am I going to do and blah, blah, blah. Marie and I got married 15 years ago. I'm obviously a little older, and it was just like, hey, Lord, you know, I'd love to start a family here. And suddenly your 20s turn into your 30s, and your 30s turn into your 40s, and you're starting to get into your late 40s. Ain't nothing happening here. You know, I had my wrestling matches with the Lord. That's a whole other story. And then one day, in she walks. A woman so exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything I could ever dream or imagine. And this is the Lord's way. Young guys, young people, this is the Lord's way. It's so difficult to step out of that boat. And I've stayed in the boat more times than I've stepped out, I'm sure. But it is, you know, there's another scripture, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's all about taking that step of surrender. It's all about that submission. It's all about that, you know, I'm going to trust you even though everything I see and everything I hear and everything I think says don't go there. It's interesting, a simple story like Pastor Eric shared about Istanbul. I mean, that's an amazing story. Another guy, you know, I mean, it's a serious flight to Istanbul. You know, I would have gotten off that airplane. I don't know, what was it, early in the morning? I would have gotten off that airplane and said, man, I'm going to find a place to sleep. I'm going to take a hot shower. I'm just going to rest. I'm just going to, oh, wow, you know. But he goes after, does God have something for me? I mean, I think it's remarkable. You jump in a car and you're cruising the streets of Istanbul without, it's like a Mission Impossible movie. And, you know, you have no idea where you're going. You're just kind of trying to sense the Lord. You just know God is always up to something. And so you're just, you know, with that in mind, you're going to go with it. You're just going to go with it. And look at the wonder of just that simple testimony. The last time I was here, I spoke about Proverbs 3, verse 5, 6, somewhere in there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And I talked about, last night, Pastor Eric reminded me of the title to that message, you know, the Jesus difference. And I tend to oversimplify. I tend to, paint in broad brush strokes and stuff. Like I said, I'm no Bible scholar. But 2,000 years ago, you have the Son of the Living God, Jesus. And we tend to think of that as he's, how do I say it? Like he's there, I'm here, and he's something very different. He's something very different. And I have to tread very carefully here, hear me out, but not so. Not so. He was a man 2,000 years ago. 100% God and 100% man. How that works, it doesn't fit into my head. I don't know. But the book of Hebrews, I don't have my glasses. I broke my glasses yesterday. It looks like I can barely see. It's the end of chapter 4. Thank you, my darling. She's everything. I don't know about you husbands. I don't even carry a dollar in my wallet. I don't. Nothing. It's just because she's got it covered. It's like, wow, man. Thank you, my sweetheart. This passage is crazy because it refers to Jesus. It says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Let me give you the instead of the New Living Translation, the New Bruce translation of that. He's just like us. Think about your weaknesses. Think about the things that run through your mind. Think about the times you almost misstepped. Think about all that stuff. Jesus. In a sense, if I can phrase it this way, 2,000 years ago, he was no different than anybody in this room. He was a human being who had moment-to-moment choices to either trust his daddy or do things in a self-satisfying way. And yes, that's oversimplifying, but we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we, and all things as we, yet without sin. That's a scary passage, man, if you think about what you have been tempted with. If you just think about some of the things that you've thought about and considered and have run through your mind. I mean, do we believe this is God's word? Do we believe it's true? Or don't we? He was tempted in every way known to man, yet was without sin. In other words, somehow, remarkably, and I got into this yesterday, you know, he 100% of the time, he made that decision instead of this decision. It really kind of, you know, I'm greatly oversimplifying. But that's basically it. 100% of the time, he trusts his daddy. 100% of the time, he just sucks up his own whatever and pushes himself to go where his daddy asks him to go, to do what his daddy wants him to do. Yesterday, I was talking about how Jesus, you know, he has all the power of the kingdom of God. He has all the power of the universe at his fingertips. It's so beyond our understanding. it's so unfathomable. You know, you can take all the billionaires that we all hear about in the news. You can put them all in a room, and their wealth combined is laughable compared to one drop of the resource available at his fingertips. It's laughable. He would laugh. He would go, "That's nothing," you know? And yet in the four Gospels, there isn't one story where he uses any of it for himself. If you had the ability to turn five loaves of bread into 5,000, would you work for your food? Would you spend money on food? Not a chance. Not a chance. You know? If you could raise people from the dead, would you sleep in the bushes? Not a chance. That's what he does. And I can promise you, based on that Hebrew scripture, he wanted to sleep in a comfortable bed. I can promise you that he wanted to zap himself whatever, steak and lobster or whatever he wanted to. I can promise you he didn't want to just sit there in the cold and the rain and just like, he wanted to zap a covering over his head, but he doesn't. He never lifts his finger for himself. What is that? Like, what kind of a guy acts like that? It's kind of funny. We live in a world full of, they've coined this phrase, virtue signaling. Everybody's just so remarkably proud of their giving, and they make sure you know it. And you know, I'm not a social media guy, but you know, it's just like, what a world of people going, "Look at me out here with poor people." You know, it's all just this, you know, just so proud. And obviously, when you see it in the Christian world, you just cringe. So proud of their giving and giving and giving. And here's this, forgive me for this, but I do it on purpose, just to kind of, if I can put it this way, bring Jesus down to earth a little bit. Here's this guy, all day, every day, just giving his everything away. A 100% of the time, bowing in submission to his father, doing what his father asks him to do, going where his father tells him to go. You know, we get this sense from movies of Jesus just kind of bouncing around being a nice guy. You know, he's always walking through the wilderness. You know what I mean? He's always just kind of walking along. He's like, "Hey, you know, be healed." And he's just kind of, you know, we get this picture, and it's gotten even more extreme. You know, this sense of this just kind of like a hippie almost, you know, just going around being friendly and stuff. Wasn't that way at all. Every moment of his life, every word he spoke, every healing, every step, every direction was in obedience. His entire focus was doing what his daddy told him to do. He's up there on the Mount of Olives all night long, and I don't know what that looked like. He's praying for the people, I'm sure. I think as a man, he's praying for strength just to get through the next day. I mean, imagine if your every day is being spit on and laughed at, and you know what I mean? It's just, in fact, I'll take it another step. Dad, mom, these people 2,000 years ago that kicked him around, they weren't just people. Yesterday I quoted Psalm 139:13. I hand formed you in your mother's womb. They're his babies. Dad, mom, just picture your own children spitting at you. Just picture your own children insulting you, laughing at you, mocking you, and meanwhile taking from you. They're in the refrigerator, eating your food and spitting at you at the same time. Just imagine. This was his daily lot. You can imagine how, as a human being, how fatigued he got of this constant barrage of thanklessness. You know, those 12 lepers that he healed, and only one of them came back to say thank you. I don't know about you, but I would think, I'm never going to heal anybody ever again, you know? I'll show them. He doesn't. Just keeps making that choice. He just keeps making that choice. Therein is the difference. And I know for myself that the more I grow in making that choice, the closer I come to the fullness of everything he has for me, the closer I come to stepping into everything he has for me, the closer I come to experiencing the wonders that are at his fingertips, the closer I come to stepping into what he dreams for me, what he desires for me, which is always, according to his word, exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything we could ask or dream of. My life is amazing. My life's amazing. I could stand up here all day long. You know, I've traveled the world. I've experienced things that very few Westerners have ever experienced. I've been in situations. I've seen miracles. You know, I was with Pastor Eric in a crusade, and I was never trained in healing and gifts and stuff like that. I prayed for this woman one time, and it's actually a very funny story. We were out in a stadium, and it was grass and everything, and this woman, and I just went to pray for her, and it was like she flew through the air. I'd never seen anything like that. You know, I was like, whoa, you know? And she tumbled in the dirt and everything, and she landed on her face, and I was scared for her, and I went and I turned her over, and it's actually very funny because it was just grass in her hair and everything like that. And I turned her over, and she goes, I can see. I can see. All I ever wanted was an Academy Award. All I ever wanted was, you know what I'm saying? This was my biggest dream. This was my biggest dream. And the Lord says, no, man, I got things ahead of you. And this goes for anybody who hears my voice. He says, because I am not a respecter of persons. I don't care where you've been in life. I got saved in my 30s. Not one of those guys that's going to stand up here and tell you I was a drug addict and a prisoner. I wasn't, but I wasn't no saint. I had no moral compass, you know, outside of my parents and my strict Catholic upbringing and things like that. And I just, sin, mistake, and foolishness, just operating in foolishness. Wanting things that are just ridiculous, silly pursuits. And the Lord took that bundle of foolishness that's standing in front of you today. And I could stand up here all day and tell you the wonders of my life. I wake up every morning, I look at this girl, oh my gosh, how did that happen? And even within that, you know, here I am pursuing A, B, and C. And Jesus is like, you have no idea what a good woman is, man. You have no idea what a real woman is. You have no idea what true value in marriage can be. And I'm going to show you. One day I'm looking eye to eye with her. I want to encourage you today toward that choice. It's very hard. And you become very kind of tired. And in the busyness of life, you start going at your own speed and driving your own car and making your own split-second decisions. And especially you young people, because you got so much ahead of you. I look at it, the gray hair, not on just on my head, but in the audience, and I can promise you, I can point to any one of you, and you'll stand, you'll turn to these younger people, and you'll say, A, B, C, you're going to go wrong here, don't go wrong there, you know what I mean? We've made the mistakes. And we've also experienced the moments of victory. We've also experienced the moments of breakthrough. And those moments are in moments of trusting Him. Those moments are in those moments of putting our life in His hands. That proverb, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Jesus perfected that. I mentioned this the last time I was here. He was that. But according to Hebrews 4, it wasn't so easy. Just like it's not easy for us. Just like it's not easy for you and me. I just want to give you a word of encouragement today. To just shake free of the comfort. Ooh, comfort's an enemy, man. Pastor Eric and I will... will both tell you, you meet these guys in the African bush and beyond, they have nothing, man, and they know God, and they see miracles, and it's just like you cannot even believe the experiences they share. I worked with a guy, he's since gone on to be with the Lord, and he would pray for healing, and he was kind of confused when it didn't happen. We're shocked when it does happen. But I remember we got called into a house and this guy's laying on the floor. Oh, pray for him. And my buddy's praying, he's praying, he's praying. And the guy didn't get up. And it was like my buddy's kind of, And he goes for it again, and he goes for it again, and it doesn't happen. And I remember he said to me, there's something I don't know here, brother. Something's wrong here. Something's not making sense. That's their experience. And it's available to everyone in this room. But our challenge is we've got to, I often say, we all want to live in comfort and wealth and things like that. Let's all be honest. Please, Lord, give me $10 million. I'd love it. I'm being honest. Everybody says, well, I don't want too much because it'll separate me from the Lord. I think, wow, you're a better Christian than I am. I want a lot. But the trick is to have that or whatever we have. I look around the room. As tough as life is, we're living high. We're all living good. But to think like we have nothing. In relationship to Him. God, I need you. 2,000 years ago, yesterday we saw a scene from the first Jesus movie I did of the leper, and he approaches Jesus. And, you can't even begin to understand the filth and the rot and the sickness. We can't. In our heads, the leper, it's almost like he's not even a person. It's like this story in the Bible. But But this was a man, just like any man in this room. And can you imagine the history of one day you just see your body rotting and you can feel it and, you know, and something's wrong and you don't know what's wrong. And it's just like, and then, you know, it just goes on and on. And his fingers are falling off and his nose is turning to chalk. And suddenly they're sending him out to go live in the wilderness. And it's just like the filth and the dirt. You can't begin to imagine it. And in that lack, what does he do? Does what we all really need to do. It's the switch to all the kingdom stuff that Pastor Eric's always talking about, that I'm talking about now, that Jesus walked in. It's the switch. Desperation for God. Utter selflessness before God. Maria, when I met her, she was widowed. Her husband had ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and she took care of him for years. She will tell you that the more wrecked his body became, the closer to God he got, and the more he started seeing visions and on. I don't know half the stories. You know, of just, it was like he was in heaven already, you know, and she would tell me, you know, I could tell when he was having a vision, and I would say, are you with Jesus now? And he would go, yeah. And, you know, it's like less of me is more of him. So my great challenge is to somehow do that to myself in the way I approach God. That utter desperation, to force myself into it, no matter what comforts I have, no matter what skills or whatever. And in that moment, he responds the same way he responded to that leper 2,000 years ago. You know, the leper comes over and says, Lord, it's so from the gut. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. It's funny, it's so unsophisticated. There was no Bible school involved. There was no Bible study involved. It was just raw. Lord, Jesus is walking by. The rawness of it. That's what's missing. And what does Jesus do in that moment? Stops everything he's doing. Turns to that guy. I am willing. It's so simple. It's so void of complicated Bible study and, you know, Greek translations. It's just so simple. It's God. It's the heart of God for you, for brokenness, for it. And we're all there at one level or another. I am willing. There's no mixing of words or nothing. Be clean. Pow. Pum. And this guy steps into the wonder of the living God. That switch being his desperation for God. Driven by his disease into a point of abandonment of self. And totally 200%. Trusting God. Jesus. I'm here to tell you that he loves you today. I'm here to tell you that he loves you. It matters not where you've been in your life. It matters not your track record of sin and compromise, which everyone in this room can attest to, starting with me. It matters not. It matters not how many times you've rejected him or said no to his plan and, you know, whatever. It matters not. All that matters is your heart before him today. That's all that matters. And forcing yourself to take a step closer. a step more desperate, a step more raw, a step more void of self, which is what robs us of him. He just loves you. Married couples, his plan for your marriage and your life, it's so off the charts. You have no idea. You think you're doing okay, and you probably are, but you have no idea. That's just a reflection of how big he is and how wonderful his plan is and how amazing he wants it all to be. My wife will tell you, I have one, there's one hard thing about, you know, I've seen so much that I kind of don't fit into a normal world. She will tell you that, you know, we'll be in some social setting and I'll just disappear. Because I just, like, everyone just talking about their, you know, and there's nothing wrong with it, you know. It's like, well, you know, I just bought a classic car. Oh, really? Oh, that's great, you know. And, you know, hey, why don't you come on up to the country club sometime? And it's just all so mundane to me. And she'll tell you, I'll just disappear. It's just like, you know, I've just seen too much. Wonders. That's why one of the reasons we get along so well. When we first sat together, it was, you know, I had just finished a meeting, a men's meeting or something like that, and we went to a pizza joint, and all the guys were there, and they're all yucking it up, which is great, and everything like that. And he and I sat in a table off in a corner eating the pizza and just talking about the wonders. The Lord has wonders. I don't know what they are. I don't know what they are. Wonders of relationship, wonders of miracles, wonders of families being reunited, wonders of healings, just wonders of freedom of heart. You know, you grew up in tough circumstances. You had hard things, and the devil got in there and created insecurities and stuff. He's wonders of freedom from that. You know? You compromised yourself with the wrong guy or the wrong girl over and over, and that just becomes like a prison in the way you think and everything like that. He has wonders of freedom for that. That's the greatest wonder of all. It's not, it has little to do with going to exotic places. It has to do with this. Just the wonder of waking up every day and roaring in freedom and goodness and glory and just, wow, what's God going to do today? So I just want to encourage you, love you. This is what he has for each and every one of us, irregardless of what happened an hour ago or a year ago, irregardless of how good you think it is now. Promises to take you from glory to glory to glory. He loves you. He loves you. Okay? Okay.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, praise the Lord.